If you know the good news that Jesus is born, go ahead and give him praise and magnify him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name. We love your name. We praise your name, oh God. Praise God. I praise God for a wonderful day. What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord today. And what a great opportunity to gather with God's people and worship. If you're a guest here, we're so glad that you came to spend some time with us in the presence of the Lord. And I appreciate so much all the prayer and the worship and everybody participating and what wonderful music and singing. And appreciate the praise group and the musicians and the media team that lets us hear it all and enjoy it all. So many good things going on in the house of God, and some of you don't even know. There's folks that cook grits every Sunday morning for all the staff in the Sunday school, and so many working parts. What a beautiful day. And we are rejoicing in what God is doing. I trust he's blessing in your life and that you know it, and that you're an advocate and a testimony for the kingdom of God. We are richly blessed this morning to have Brother Randy Williams in the house with us. And we have long wanted him to come. And he and Sister Williams pastor in Fort Myers, Florida, the church that Brother and Sister Urshan built off the ground there, out of the street there. And times and seasons have passed, and Brother Sister Williams are pastoring there now. He is and has a wide reputation as an evangelist in the Apostolic Church, has been a blessing all over the church, and has been instrumental in revival in every major church family in our fellowship. And we're just glad that he's here right now, and we're expecting God to do great things this morning and tonight. Brother Williams, we love you. We want you to come and take your liberty. Would you just stretch forth your hand right now as he comes and pray for him and his wife and children and the church in Fort Myers? Just pray God's blessing on them. Glad you're here. Thank
you. Oh, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Come on, let's give him our best praise. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, let's make his praise glorious. Come on, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name in this house. I wonder if somebody would just throw your hands in the air, and while your hands are lifted, open up your mouth and shout unto God with a voice of triumph in this building. Come on, I wonder if somebody that's got a testimony would just open up your mouth and give God a praise in the building. Come on, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I wonder if there's any redeemed people in the building this morning. I wonder if there's any blood-washed people in the building this morning. I wonder if there's anybody that God put your marriage back together in the building. I wonder if I've got any ex-drug addicts in the building that would give him praise. I wonder if I've got anybody in the building who's not afraid to testify that God's been good to you this morning. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, Psalm 150 says to praise him according to his excellent greatness. If he hadn't done anything for you, then baby, you can sit there. But pardon me a moment. I've got to give him praise for where he's brought me from. I've got to give him praise for what he's done for me. I've got to give him praise. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta praise him. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know what I had to go through just to be here this morning. You don't know the hell that God delivered me out of just to be able to raise my hands. You don't know the trials and the tribulation that God brought me through just to be here. Oh, you can sit there if you want to, but I've got to give him praise. I've got to give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, one writer said, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Whoa! Turn and tell somebody next to you, when I think about Jesus. Now, some of y'all said, when I think about Jesus. No, you got to do it right. Turn to somebody and tell them, when I think about Jesus and all he's done for me. Whoa, I felt something hit right there. And all he's done for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough to give God praise. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, I can shout. I know it's Sunday morning and you're supposed to be dignified and you got your pretty dress on, but I wonder if somebody would just go ahead and loosen up your tie, kick off your pretty shoes, and tell your neighbor, excuse me, baby, I gotta praise him. I don't mind you sitting there this morning, as long as you don't mind me stepping over your purse and your pretty shoes to give God the praise. Yeah. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he saved, set me free. Can dance all night. All night, all night, all night, all night, all night. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for you. When I think about Jesus, how he saved, brought you through. Can run, all. Somebody give him praise. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the enemy's trying to keep you from doing. That's the praise he's trying to hold back. That's what the pressure has been about. Somebody that knows that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Lift up your voice and shout. Come on, the Bible said, let the high praise of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. Wow! Anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Put your hands together one more time and give him praise. My, I feel something stirring in this place this morning. It is such an honor to be in the house of the Lord with all of you here this morning. You can be seated for just a moment. You might just want to keep the runway clear. If you have any valuables on the floor, you might want to put them under your seat. It is such an honor to be in the house of the Lord with you. I first of all want to give honor this morning to the angel of this house, your incredible pastor, Bishop Sutton. I wonder if somebody would just make some crazy noise in the building and let him know how much you love him. Come on, if you know you got the best, somebody make some noise. Hey! And standing right next to him, God's leading lady of this house, First Lady Sutton, would you help me honor the woman of God in this house this morning? Come on. I love and appreciate them. I honor the entire First family this morning, Bishop and First Lady Sutton, all of the cheering. If you don't know what that is, look it up when you get home. A lot of guys preach out of the King James Version Bible. You'll find out that I preach most of the time from the Martin Luther King James Version. I honor the Suttons and the First family, all of the children and grandchildren. And so excited to be in the house of the Lord to this great body of believers. What an awesome opportunity to be here. As Bishop Sutton mentioned, it has been a long time coming to get here. And I have admired your pastor for many years, longer than I have had the privilege of knowing him. And I know I don't look a day over 20, but I'm just a little bit older than that. But he has been a powerful voice that has been a blessing in my life for many years. And over the past several of years, I've had the opportunity to become acquainted with him and appreciate his ministry and all that God is doing here. I guess it was maybe 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, my phone rang one day and it was your bishop, your pastor on the other line. We chatted for a few minutes and he said, "I'd really like you to come to Birmingham and be with us in service." And at the time, I just couldn't get my schedule to work to be here. And he said, "Well," he told me something I'll never forget. He said, "Well," he said, "you know, birds know when to fly south for the winter. So you just let me know when you're feeling. I think my timing is off. I'm supposed to fly south to the winter to enjoy the warm weather." And I flew right into a snowstorm this week. It might be cold outside, but I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in this house. Now, I hope somebody came to have church in this building this morning. So many times when somebody new comes to the church, if we're not careful, we can spend an entire service trying to figure them out and size them up. So let me just take a moment. I'll just tell you a little bit about me. Is that all right? A lot of people don't know this, Bishop Sutton, and I don't say much about it, but I'm 40 years old, and I just recently got my PhD. That public high school diploma evaded me for years, but I want to let you know I finally got... Turn to your neighbor, tell them to laugh a little bit. I wasn't raised in church. I was raised in the hood, but I was an honor student. I mean it. I was an honor student. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I won't do it again, Your Honor. God rescued me at the age of 14 years old, filled me with the Holy Ghost, called me into the ministry at the age of 15 years old. I preached my first sermon at the age of 15. And they told me when I started preaching, they said, "Look, if you're going to be a good man of God, you've got to learn how to be a reader." They told me leaders are readers is what they said. And I said, all right, what am I supposed to read? They said, well, you got to read books from smart people. Well, the smartest people I know are doctors, right? You know, they've been to... So I picked up some books and began reading and developed an appetite for some of these books and learned some things. One of my favorite... I thought of this quote today. One of my favorite authors, my favorite... Some of you might know him, Dr. Seuss. You got to start somewhere. Dr. Seuss said, I've heard that there is trouble of more than one kind. Some come from ahead and some from behind. But I've bought a big bat. I'm all ready now, you see, because now my trouble is going to have trouble with me. Anybody feel that way this morning? You want to let the devil know I'm not on the defense, but I'm on the offense? Anybody feel like that this morning? I've got the Lord on my side, and if God be for us, who can be against us all? If you feel the victory of God in your life, put your hands together one more time and give God the praise. I want to hasten to the word of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 8. And I want to begin reading at verse number 25. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25 says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. And there remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, and neither would he let the people go. And for a few moments this morning, I simply want to preach, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Would you put your Bibles down and one more time put your hands together and give God your best praise in the building? While you're clapping your hands, would you give him the fruit of your lips, the sacrifice of praise in this house today? Hallelujah! Glory to your name, Jesus. If you promise to preach with me, you may be seated. If not, would you please remain standing and run the aisles while I preach? My goodness, 100% participation. We're going to have good church this morning. In life, you learn that when you make a deal with somebody, you've got to be careful. There was a day and an age where we used to make deals on a handshake. There was a day and an age where we would barter things and make agreements and exchange commerce and make deals. And all that we needed to seal the deal was a handshake. But that is not the society that we live in today. Today, you better have everything in writing. I mean, if you buy a pack of bubble gum at 7-Eleven, you better have a contract signed. You better make sure that you've taken care of all of the details. And every one of us have probably in our lifetime more than once signed something that when we looked at the contract and we got into all of the details, we really didn't read the whole thing. Anybody beside me ever done that before? I mean, you thumb through it and after a while, you just say, my goodness, this will take me all day. Where do I sign? And we just ignore what they call the fine print. And probably most of us in here have learned a hard lesson from not paying attention at some point in time to the fine print. Fine print is called fine print for a reason. The fine print of an agreement is designed to keep your attention on the benefits and keep the deal looking good and attractive while trying to conceal potential consequences of the deal. Fine print is there in order to keep you from really becoming too contemplative about the pros and the cons. It's there to keep your eyes on what is attracting you to the deal, and hopefully you may even overlook what is written in the fine print. Because most of the time, what is written in the fine print is not to your benefit. Most of the time, what's in the fine print is the recourse of the other person that you're doing business with. And it oftentimes is not there to protect you, but to protect the other person. Several years ago, a company emerged with a mobile app that became ubiquitous as it flooded the mobile industry, an app called Snapchat. Anybody ever heard of that before? Now, if you're apostolic, you probably don't have it. Uh-oh, it got quiet. It's because Snapchat, the draw of Snapchat, their marketing was that you could exchange pictures and photos that would disappear after a few moments, erasing accountability. And you could take pictures and the sender would be able to view it for a short moment of time, and then it would disappear without a trace. And so when Snapchat came out, everybody went bonkers over Snapchat. And because of the lack of accountability, you can only imagine the kind of content being exchanged on the platform of Snapchat. And in early 2014, users of Snapchat became outraged when Snapchat came to the public with the announcement that there had been a security breach and that their security had been compromised and that thousands and thousands of photos and videos. See, you thought they were disappearing, but they just disappeared to a server somewhere that were there on record. And Snapchat said, we've been compromised, and thousands and millions of photos and videos have been compromised, and they are now making their way through the internet and being exchanged all over the... You can imagine the outrage of people who thought that what they were doing was private, that what they were doing would not be shared, and now their business... That's different than business. Their business is all over the internet. I love that old gospel song somebody wrote. Keep your business off of Facebook. Y'all need to go look that up when you get home. And so people started panicking, and they started making moves to put together a class action lawsuit against Snapchat. And they said, how could Snapchat do this to us? And how could our integrity be compromised? And they were all set to sue Snapchat when they realized that they had accepted the terms and conditions of the app and they never read the small print. When they realized that by accepting the terms and conditions and never reading the small print, that they had signed away all of their privacy rights, and now they were in a position that they had no recourse. There was nothing that they could do. Can I just tell somebody this morning that you have to understand that the devil is a liar. The book of John chapter 8 says that he is the father of lies and that there is no truth in him. That's why you've got to learn that if you're going to be what God wants you to be, there is no making a deal with the devil. There is no making a compromise with the world because he is a liar. He is out to trick you. He is out to deceive you. He is out to destroy you. And when you get done chasing the bait of this world, he's got one agenda, and that is to destroy your soul. And when you study the Word of God and you begin to study Egypt and Pharaoh, you understand that Egypt is a type of the world and that Pharaoh is a type of Satan trying to keep God's people living in bondage. And the Bible said that one day the word of the Lord came to Moses and he said, Moses, I want you to go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You tell them that I'm bringing them out that they may worship me. I wonder if there's anybody in the building that remembers the day that God sent his word into your life and said, let them go. I wonder if there's anybody that remembers the day that God showed up in your life and said, turn them loose. Devil, your reign is over. Devil, your influence is finished. It's time for them to come out. I can see them standing before Pharaoh saying, Pharaoh, you've got to let God's people go. It's over with. It's done. We're leaving. Goodbye. No more whips. No more chains. No more deception. It's over with. God is bringing us out. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more heavy loads. No more of this mess. God is bringing us out. I wish I had somebody in the building that would just take a moment and thank God that he brought you out. Thank God that he delivered you. Thank God that one day he showed up on the scene and said, you're coming out of this. You're coming out of your situation. Moses says, we're leaving. God said to let his people go. And And so Pharaoh begins to try and negotiate a deal with them. And in Exodus 8 and 25, the Bible says that Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron. And he said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. You go ahead and worship your God, but just do it here. You don't have to leave Egypt in order to worship him. I don't mind you worshiping God. I don't mind you lifting your hands. I don't mind you lifting your voice. But just do it here. You can worship God, but that doesn't mean that you have to leave the world. You can give God praise and still be a part of Egyptian culture. You can worship God and still remain where you are. Go ahead and give your God some praise, but just stay right where you are. Can I preach to somebody? And they quoted it this morning that in John chapter 4, he said, but the hour is come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough just to worship him. I'm going to worship him in the principles of his truth. I can't live in the deception of Egypt and still worship him. I can't live in the bondage of Egypt and still worship my God. Bible said, ye are in the world, but ye are not of the world. Moses said, worship him, but whatever you do, just stay here. But Moses looked at him and said, we will go a 3 days journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. He understood there's got to be some distance between me and this world. I'm not interested in staying in the world and trying to be a Christian. I'm not interested in living in the world and faking like I got freedom. Hey, hear me, Pharaoh. I'm going to leave a 3 days journey because God didn't save me in my sin. God delivered me from my sin. That's why 2 Corinthians 6 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I wish somebody in the building would remind the devil, I'm coming out. I'm not interested in the world. I'm not interested in what Egypt has for me. I'm coming out. Wherefore, come out from among them. Anytime you see the word wherefore or therefore, you have to understand what it's there for. And so you have to back up and read before verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The devil wants to make a deal and tell you to just worship while you're in the world, but I need somebody this morning to let hell know I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming. I wish somebody would tell the devil, I'm coming out of my addiction. I'm coming out of my problem. I'm coming out of my issues. Devil, you can't hold me back. Devil, you can't leave. Come on. Somebody in the building, serve notice to hell that God's going to open a door that no man can shut. I'm coming out. He'll try to make a deal with you. He'll try to make a deal with you and tell you, I don't mind you coming to church on Sunday and giving God the praise. I don't mind you coming into the altar and saying, I plead the blood. As long as you stay in Egypt. As long as your residence is still in Egypt. But somebody needs to let the hell know, I've got an address change notification. I'm leaving this place. I'm not satisfied with worshiping him while I live in Egypt. I'm coming out. My God, somebody in the building, hear this preacher. God's about to bring you out of your family mess. God's about to deliver you out of your crazy situation. God's about to bring you out of generational curses. God's about to bring you out. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody let him know, I'm not making a deal. I'm not compromising. I'm going to worship God, but I'm getting out of here. I'm going to worship God, but I'm going a 3 days journey. I'm going to worship God, but I'm changing my location. I'm leaving. And then in Exodus 8 and 28, Pharaoh's a negotiator. He's like a car salesman. Now, not all car salesmen are Pharaohs, all right? Hello, somebody. Man, I hit something right there. If they got the Holy Ghost, they ain't like Pharaoh. Come on, somebody. But Pharaoh starts to negotiate. 8 and 28, he says, okay. You drive a hard bargain, Moses. Let's make a deal. I'll let you go that you might sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. If you want to leave, all right, go ahead and leave, but don't go too far. You can take off and that's all right, but just let's make a deal. You don't have to stay here, but just go a little ways. Now understand that God's plan was to take them all the way to the promised land. But to begin the journey, you got to have at least a 3 days journey between you and Egypt. Can I preach? You need to get so far away that you can no longer see Egypt in your rearview mirror. Come on, somebody. You got to get far enough away from the world that when you turn around and look, I can't even see it any longer. I don't even remember how to get back. I can't even see. Oh, see, the devil wants to strike a deal with you and say, I don't care if you leave. Just don't get so far away that you don't know how to come back. Just don't wander off so far that you don't have to navigate all the way. You see, I can tell people that only take a day's journey away from the world. Because on Sunday, they say, whoa, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Egypt. Hikamoshai, pass them on by. Kickstart a Kawasaki, come sell them a Honda. See me tie my bow tie. Hallelujah. Dance, chant, shout, juke, and jive. But by midweek service, they've already slid right back into the same behavior. Why? Because they're only going a day's journey from the world. The enemy has made a deal with you to just stay close by. I don't care if you wander off, but somewhere, if you're going to get free from Egypt, you got to let hell know, I'm not going to stay close by. Goodbye. Too legit. Got to quit. I'm out of here. Sayonara. Arrivederci. Hasta luego. We'll say goodbye. Some of you need to learn the gift of goodbye with the world. It's time to tell the devil goodbye. I don't need your tricks. I don't need your offering. I don't need your mess. I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. I'm going a 3 days journey. I'm leaving. I'm going to get so far away that when I turn around, I don't even remember what it looks like. I wonder if somebody in the building would take just a moment and give God a celebration praise that says, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. I tell you what you ought to do. Tell the devil you might as well have a going away party for me, because I'm not coming back. Don't look for me on Monday morning. Don't look for me in the club on Friday night. Don't look for me at Uncle Ray Ray's house. I won't be there because I'm leaving. I'm telling some of you, that's why you're stuck, because the enemy keeps making a deal with you. Don't go too far. Don't leave too far. Make sure. Don't. You know, you can pray through talking tongues, but don't take it too far now. Don't throw away all those CDs. Snoop Dogg. 50 Cent, Jay-Z. See, I'm old school. I don't even know all the new artists. I know you like church and you felt the touch of God, but don't throw away all those clothes. I know you feel the touch of God, but don't get too radical now. Whatever you do, don't get way out there. He's trying to make a deal with you. I don't mind if you leave out a little bit, but somewhere, if you're going to get free from sin and the world, you got to call the shots and let the devil know, I'm not signing an agreement with you. I'm not compromising. When God said, I'm coming out, I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out all the way. Somebody that's come out of Egypt, I wish you'd testify to somebody else that God can bring you all the way out. God can bring you all the way out. Whatever he started in your life, God can finish it. Whatever God's doing in your life, God, I'm preaching to some young men and some young ladies. God's got a plan for you that's greater than anything the enemy can offer you. God's got a future and a destiny for you that's greater than anything the world can offer. It's time to tell Egypt goodbye. I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. I'm going to the promised land. You see, Herod told the wise men, he said, I want you to go and search for the newborn king and worship him. I don't care if you go worship him. Go find him and go worship him. But when you're done, come back to me. When you're done, come back to me, because I want to go worship him too. There's that compromising, lying devil always trying to work a deal, always trying to give you a false sense of something in your life. Oh yeah, it's going to be okay. Go out there and worship, but just make sure that you come back. But when those men found Jesus, I said when they found Jesus, the angel came and said, go home a different way. Go, don't you go back to Herod. You go home a different way. I'm telling somebody this morning that God wants to get a hold of you to where you walk out of this place and you go home a different way. I'm not going back to the same lifestyle. I'm not going back to the same bondage. I'm not going back to the same tricks. I'm not going back to the same lies. God, somebody in this place, I'm coming out. Herod's plan wasn't to worship. Herod's plan was to destroy them. Sound like a good deal? But the angel said, don't you dare go back. Pharaoh said, okay. Skip down to Exodus chapter 10, verse number 8. He said, come on, let's talk about this. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go and serve the Lord your God. But tell me, Moses and Aaron, who are all the people that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. He said, well, Pharaoh, really everybody's going. My kids are going. My grandkids are going. I'm taking the flocks. Everybody's getting up out of here. We all leaving. Pharaoh sits across from the table, says, hold on now. He said, listen to me. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you. He's a good salesman. Salesmen know how to get on your side first. Good. Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go. I already told you I was going to let you go. I agree with you, Moses. And yeah, it's okay. And you can go. You don't have to stay. And the Lord be with you. He said, but your little ones, those kids, look to it. In other words, he was saying, you need to take a second thought about taking your kids with you. I mean, because what you're about to do, evil is before you. It's dangerous to do what you're about to do, and you don't want to jeopardize the children, and you don't want to. It's one thing for you to take that step, Moses, and it's one thing for you to want to go out here and leave and do all the, but the children, Moses, think about it. You're putting them into harm's way, not so. Don't take the kids. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did serve. Can I tell somebody that the enemy wants to make a deal and tell you you can go, but just leave your future here with me. Leave your posterity here with me, because he understands if I can affect what's going on right now, right here, whatever you do in your future, you'll be drawn back and held captive by decisions that you made while you were in Egypt. I'm telling somebody that it is the enemy's ploy to get you to do some things right now that you're going to regret later. It's his goal to get you to sign your name next to a line and make some decisions that down the road you're going to look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I wouldn't have done that, because he is trying to hoodwink you. He is trying to pull the wool over your eyes. If you're not careful, your desperation will cause you to start compromising important details. And one day, when you're trying to step into a calling and an anointing on your life, the enemy will pull out the contract and remind you of the fine print and remind you of what you signed up for. Can I preach to some parents in the building this morning? Mom and dad, protect your children. Mom and dad, protect your kids' future. The enemy wants to make a deal. You can go worship, but leave your sons and your daughters in Egypt. I don't mind if you get radical and do your thing, but let your kids compromise with Egypt. Let your kids dabble in the things. It's more convenient than an argument to let them just do what they're going to do. It's more convenient to just let the world take care of your children, but you've got to let hell know, I will not leave my children in Egypt. My kids are coming with me. My babies, I wish I had some moms and dads that had a made up mind in this place. My children are coming with me. I'll fight hell for my kids to make it to heaven. I'll fast as long as I gotta fast for my kids to make it. I'll spend time on my knee. Come on, I need some mom and dads that will serve notice on hell this morning. My children will not stay in Egypt. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal, Mom. Dad, let's make a deal. So, Exodus 10:24, Pharaoh says, come here, Moses, we got to finish talking this through. He said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let not your flocks, or let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You see how he keeps giving up ground? Okay, let your children go. They can go with you. But just go ahead and leave your flocks in Egypt. Go ahead, you can leave 3 days' journey. Go ahead, I know, take your kids with you. But leave your herds, leave your flocks. And Moses said in verse 25, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not an hoof be left behind. For therefore, we must take it to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. You can go, but leave your herds and your flocks. In other words, he was telling them, you can go, but leave your sacrifice. You see, when we think about the children of Israel in Egypt, we think about a group of people who were starving to death. And it was only because of the manna from heaven that they had anything to eat, that there were no options. But you read your Bible, their flocks and their herds went with them. So that means that while they were at the breakfast table eating that manna, that they were listening to the bleating of sheep and the hooves of the cattle while they were eating the manna that God had supplied.
And I could just hear one of the kids say, but Daddy, can't we just have a steak? Daddy, can't we just get some ribs and some meat off of the cattle? But he turns around and says, no, those are not for us. Those are for him. And we don't eat the sacrifice. The sacrifice belongs to God. I'm coming out of Egypt and I'm not leaving the cattle behind because I'm not going to leave my sacrifice in Egypt. I've got to have something that I'm going to give to God when I come out of here. Can I just put it where we're living? When I was in the world, you didn't mind me spending $5 on a carton of cigarettes, $40 a week on cigarettes, and $100 on alcohol, and $200 on drugs a week. But you want me to come into the kingdom of God and leave my sacrifice in Egypt? You want me to give all of that to Egypt? But when I come here, leave my sacrifice? You got to be crazy. Whatever I did in Egypt, I'm going to give it double to God. Whatever I gave when I was in the world, come on somebody, when I was in the world, I would jump and shout and holler at a football game. But you want me to come in here and sit there with my mouth closed? You got to be crazy. I'm not leaving my sacrifice in Egypt. I'm not leaving. Come on, I wish I had some radical people in the building. Before God found you, you would dance, you would shout, you would holler. When you come to the house of God, you ought to give God twice as much praise. You ought to give God twice as much. Come on, some of you used to dance on the dance floor, but you won't make a move for God if he's brought you out. You ought to give him a sacrifice. If he brought you out, you ought to shout. If he brought you out, you ought to give him, come on, somebody that's got a testimony that God brought you out, shout and give God a sacrifice of praise. You ought to shout better than they do at the ball game. You ought to shout louder than they do at the stadiums. I just ran into something. I feel like challenging. What's the big sports team in Alabama? Is it the Roll Tide or what? I don't even keep up with it. I'm about to start a church split in here. You go into their sanctuaries on the weekend. Oh, make no doubt about it. Those are sanctuaries of worship. They've got their hands lifted. They've got their voices shouting. They're jumping around. They are worshiping. Matter of fact, they go there and they get crazy. They will take, you'll see a 400-pound guy take his shirt off. He would never do it any place else, but he'll lose his inhibition in his worship. Take off his shirt, paint their face red. Is it red and white? Paint their face, jump up and down, spill beer on a complete stranger, not even care. Slap somebody up on the back that they don't even know. If they did that out in the world, they'd get in a street fight. Acting crazy over somebody throwing a piece of leather down the green grass, over something that makes no difference in their life. I'm telling you, if they can do that for their God, my God, God's people, when we come together, ought to lift our praise and Come on, somebody. The Bible said you're a living epistle, known and read of all men. When they walk in the back doors, before they ever hear a word, they ought to see your worship and say, I don't know what God that they serve, but that's the God that I need in my life. Come on, somebody. Woo! Come on, somebody. I think we ought to take a moment right here and let hell know we're not leaving our sacrifice in Egypt. I think we ought to take a moment right here and let hell know we're not leaving our sacrifice in Egypt. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, musicians, help me. Somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody give him praise. He's been good to me. He delivered me out of Egypt. He put my marriage back together. He took me off the streets. Come on, he gave me a right mind. He gave me peace that passes all understanding. I've got to give him praise. The devil wants to make a deal. Leave your worship. Leave your sacrifice here. Go to church, but just sit on the pew and be a spectator. Go to church, but don't you dare worship there like you worshiped here. Don't you dare do in church what you did before. Trying to make a deal. From the very beginning, he tried to make a deal with mankind. Pulls up next to Eve and he said, what did the Lord say? Well, the Lord said that we can't touch the tree. Ah, that's not really what he meant. What he really meant was, He knows that if you partake of the tree, that you're going to be like God, knowing all things. And that's not really that important. Come on, just try it. You've got to be careful of voices that marginalize the word of God in your life. You got to be careful of voices that want to take God's word and diminish it in your life and try to make it seem less important and try to talk you out of what thus saith the Lord. Because they made a deal, they became separated from the presence of God. The book of Mark chapter 8 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The enemy's constantly trying to strike a deal with you. He's trying to find out what your asking price is. He's trying to find out what your selling point is. What are you willing to exchange? But somebody in this building this morning needs to come down to this altar and let hell know, I'm not making a deal. Come on, somebody in this building needs to let hell know, I'm not making a deal. I'm not compromising. I'm coming all the way out. I'm not, come on, somebody in this building, you need to let hell know, I'll do whatever it takes to come out of Egypt. I'll do whatever it takes to get my freedom. I'll do whatever it takes to break loose. I'll do whatever it takes, but I will not make a deal. Come on, somebody in this building, it's time to lift your hands and let hell know, I'm not going to make a deal. I'm coming out of this. Come on. Somebody right now. Somebody right now, lift those hands right where you're at. Somebody right now, lift those hands right where you're at. Come on, church, help me pray. Come on, church, help me pray. Come on. Come on. Come on, I'm not making a deal. Come on, I'm not making a deal. Come on, I'm not making a deal. In the name of Jesus.
No longer bound. No more chains. No more chains.
Come on, church, help me pray. Come on. Come on, let's not make a deal. Come on. These are God's people. These souls belong to heaven. These souls belong to Jesus. We're not compromising. We're not letting one go. Come on. Come on, help me pray, church.